You know, God's love has been shown to us as a church for 20 years this weekend. Crosses is 20 years old this weekend. And today we're going to sort of look at some of our stuff in the past and some of our stuff in the future. And while we look at this, we just need to orient ourselves. Go ahead and take a seat, if you would, for a moment. We just need to orient ourselves to this, that this is not about human invention or human energy expansion. This is about the very heart of God who's opened up a window of grace on us. So let's just tell him or center in on how good he is to us, the church, because he's worthy.
Thank you. was always busy with school or sports or music that church was the last thing on my mind.
I did basically what I wanted to do, what I thought would make me happy, what I thought would be fun. I almost did like the opposite of what I knew God wanted me to do.
I was actually in an abusive relationship with a guy that I had met my junior year in high school.
I'd say for the past 3 years in college, I've been very depressed. It was overwhelming to like, wow, my life is completely empty.
I just felt worthless. I felt like there was no reason for me to really be here.
It wasn't until I had my son that I started thinking about church.
Well, I started attending Crossroads last year during the Brave Journey. And the Brave Journey helped me kind of get away from what I was doing.
Throughout the six-week series, I cried a lot at church. To somebody who doesn't go to church or somebody who doesn't believe in God or Jesus, it's so indescribable, the feeling of knowing that he's there.
Whenever I was still in the bad place, like, I knew I had Jesus Christ, and I would pray to him every night. Like, he was still there with me, and that's what kept me holding on.
After I truly recognized his grace and the grace he has for us and that he forgives, because Jesus died on the cross for us. I mean, what God has done in my life in the past 2 months has been an absolute miracle.
During the Dad series was when I knew that it was time for me to commit myself to following Jesus. Baptism is the ultimate, I love you, God and Jesus. Like, this is me letting down that guard and just fully committing myself.
When you're being plunged in, that's you symbolizing that you are dying with him, and then you're being raised back up into a new life with him.
I just want to show others my love for him. I want to show that to the world that he is my Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
To you and calling you Lord and Savior over their life. You're so good, and I am just thankful to be here to witness it and to be in relationship with you because you're awesome. Amen. Awesome. Good job, guys. Why don't you give somebody around you a giant high five and have a seat?
And student ministry, and we are so glad that you're here this morning. I love Kids Club and student ministry too. How fun was it to celebrate with our friends who were getting baptized today, the transformation that comes when we know and follow Jesus. And because we are obsessive includers, we want to have other people join us in the things that God's going on around here. So one thing you can do to invite people in is the Easter experience. It starts this Thursday, runs all through the weekend, and we sent a team to Israel to video and teaching where the Easter story actually took place. So invite your friends, invite your neighbors, invite your coworkers that you don't like to come to Crossroads for the Easter experience. And then once you invite them, get tickets. Because we have a bunch of additional services, and we're providing tickets so that when you bring your friend here, they'll actually have a seat, which we think is very welcoming. So get your tickets, and then if you would like to be even more a part of making the Easter experience happen, you can serve by being on the First Impressions team, welcoming people and helping in the parking lot or in Kids Club, because we will be providing an Easter experience for kids in birth through fifth grade back in Kids Club. So the Easter experience starts Thursday, and then 2 weeks from this weekend, the Brave Journey starts. And if you're new around here, the Journey is a 5-week period where we talk about what God may be challenging us to do in here, and then we get together with small groups to further process what God may be calling us to do. So we have an ask for you. We need 2,100 more Brave hosts so that everyone has a place in a small group. So we would love for you to sign up. It's very easy to host. We give you everything that you need. And my husband and I have hosted for years, and it's a really, really fun experience. There's information in your program on how you can do that. If you're thinking that you don't want to host, you can join a group. And there's information on how to do that in the program too. If you get on and you can't find a group that suits your needs, God may be calling you to take your first Brave step by hosting your own group, and we will help you do that. So sign up for Brave. So for 20 years, we have been passionate about providing a place for people to come and experience God in a new and a real way. And the way we do that is we have a bunch of sacrificial givers who give of their time and their money so that we can do that and make impact on people's lives here and in the world. So at this point in the service, we're going to do an offering. And there's a number of ways to do that. We can do it electronically. We also will be passing bags down the row. And if you're new around here and you're just checking us out, that's totally cool. You can just let the bag pass you by. And while we're doing that, we're going to be watching stories of people who were impacted by Brave last year. We're glad you're here.
My step in my Brave journey was to spend more time in the Word with God in the midst of my busy life of being a new husband, a new father, and in doing so, I was able really to experience the love of God as a father, which is something I really had a hard time grasping.
My heading going into the Brave journey was to explore international adoption. I was very scared. I didn't feel like I had the energy to parent a fourth child and to go back to toddler years, and I just didn't feel worthy of that.
Brave was life-changing for me. I went into the journey feeling unworthy, unredeemable, and I didn't think salvation was an option for me.
Following the Brave journey, God gave me the courage to go ahead and follow my dream. And that dream was to become a marketing professor at Xavier University. I left a great job that I had been at for 9 years, plenty of friends, really good money. It was His plan, and I was ready to go.
The way I walk out in my life now is constantly reminding myself that God wants me as His son, that God is overwhelmed by my love for Him and that He loves me as a son. I now also get to see that as a father to two young, beautiful daughters, and I get to see His love again in that way.
God placed on my heart to be baptized at the end of the journey, and I am definitely afraid of water, so to be obedient in that was just awe-inspiring.
Chuck talked about storms and about how when you step off the boat, you're gonna fall and that it's gonna take you to the end of yourself. And that's exactly how I was feeling at the time. But we decided to say yes. And a year later, this May, we will be traveling to China to pick up our daughter.
This experience has been amazing. It's been among the most life-changing events I've ever experienced.
I'm burning my lies, walking in truth with Christ, and now I have a new lease on life.
I am worthy and I am brave.
I am loved and I am brave.
I'm blessed and I'm brave.
It was life-changing for so many people last year, and that was just our first try at Brave. Our first try. And we've just known when we have a second shot at things here at Crossroads, we can improve it. It's more trustworthy to be able to invite friends in. And on top of that, with Brave, anything God wants you to do in your life is going to require bravery. So He might have wanted you to do something a year ago, or you might have needed to grow into something or out of something a year ago. But guess what? There's something else right now that you're facing. And that's why I'm excited about the journey for all of us. Be a part of it. Become a host. Lib and I are hosts every year. It's going to be good stuff. You know, it's one of the things that we've done here at Crossroads for, 10 years or so, are these journeys to try to get us intensely in connection with our Heavenly Father. And we've done a lot of things for even 20 years. 20 years. Crazy. So today, I'm going to try to meld some of our celebration of the 20 years. Maybe we should sing Happy Birthday to Crossroads right now. Happy birthday. No, we're not doing that. So as I say, 20 years of Crossroads, we're going to meld that with the next run that we're in right now, which is reminding us and celebrating what God's doing in and through us right now through the I'm In campaign. If you're brand new today, yeah, this is going to really be a great snapshot for you to understand who we are as a church. And you've been around, I think you're going to be really encouraged today. So let's pray. God, thank you that we never can anticipate your plans. We never can anticipate your purposes. We understand, at least I understand, sort of your macro values, God, but how they play out in a day-to-day basis, a year-to-year basis, a decade-to-decade basis, no eye can see, no mind can comprehend. So help us today to have more awareness of what you have done, and maybe even more of what you're going to do. Thank you for the honor, God, of representing your truth today, and may all that I say bring pleasure to you. And I pray these things according to the person and identity of Jesus. Amen. Well, I've been married for 26 28 years, something like that. I haven't done the exact math right now, but you know, when you've been married so long, you know, you don't actually remember the numbers as easily as they used to. But I've noticed there's been a shift in how I date now versus when I first started dating Libby in 1988. In fact, if you're dating somebody right now, if you're unmarried right now, if you're 19, if you're 30, you know the gig. When you go out, especially your first date, right? You go out and you're excited. You're getting ready all day for it. You're thinking through what you're going to do, what you're going to buy, where you're going to go to eat. If you're driving, you go, you take the car out, you get it clean, you wax it, you vacuum it. You spend a long time in front of the mirror shaving and getting your Old Spice. Doing your Old Spice all over the place, you know. You are ready. It's been like the thing you've been thinking about for days. And then you've been married for about 28 years, and you come up out of the garage working on your motorcycle, and you get your grease out from underneath your fingernails, and you come in and say, "Hey, howdy, you want to go out tonight?" She says, "Sure, I'll go out." Good. So you go upstairs and you go to wash your hands. You say, "Ah, should I take a shower?" "No, I'm fine. Fine in the shower. Put some fresh gel in the hair." Go downstairs. Your wife says, "I wish you would wear cologne." And you say, "No, I'm not wearing any freaking cologne. Real men don't wear cologne. No. Maybe Old Spice, they can't afford anything else. But no, guys who work on their own bikes, they don't wear cologne. No." And of course, if my wife had told me that when we were dating and she wanted cologne, I'd be, "What kind, honey? Any kind you want. I'll get you cologne right now." Now, what am I trying to contrast? There's a strange thing that when you first fall in love or you're falling in love, you're like on your game. And unfortunately, the longer you're in a relationship, the more you have to work to keep the fires going. And I've seen this in people falling in love with God. When we first fall in love with God, we first get baptized, we're first wrapped up in this idea of being used by God, being touched by God, being redeemed by God, being forgiven by God, and like we're all wrapped up in it. And the longer you're in a relationship with Christ, I've seen it over and over and over again, the more calcified you become in your behaviors. The more calcified you become in your opinions, the more you assume that if you've had this belief for a while, then it's actually right. And we've seen that at Crossroads. And so what I want to try to do is rekindle in some of us who have been around sometime the wonder of what God is doing in our midst, because it is wonderful. Some of us have been around long enough that we remember when Crossroads was a small thing. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 4:10, it says this: "Do not despise the day of small beginnings, because you will rejoice." Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Back in 1995, that was a small beginning. 1996, that was a small beginning. We never, ever, ever, ever would have anticipated the Crossroads to be what it is today. Never, ever. There wasn't a single person who would have seen us being in 6 different locations, blessing people in South Africa, changing the poverty infrastructure here in our city of Cincinnati, engaged in the rape-for-profit industry, getting rid of that over in India, doing go trips all over. No one would have ever, 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 ever thought that. Someone asked me every once in a while, "Gosh, you must really struggle with pride." Nope. Nope, absolutely not. No, not even close. I'll tell you, what God has done is so beyond, I know, anything that I could do or any group of smart people could plan or any group of spiritual people could even pray through. What God has done is so beyond any expectation, any idea. Honestly, it's not even a temptation to pinch off any glory for ourselves. It's not, because He's that good, He's that great, He's that beyond. And while this has been happening, you need to understand that what happens here at Crossroads could very model what's happening with you. Don't despise a day of small beginnings for you. You might be in something right now that is very difficult, very small, very, very rough in a relationship, in a business. Don't despise it, because the way you're struggling right now, it's like that struggle is preparing you and equipping you for things later on. When we started Crossroads, we didn't think it was small at all. From day one, we thought it was huge. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. It's that big, but for us to struggle and grow through it, formed muscle mass that equipped us for something in the future. And it's why we've been through 4 different campaigns. We've been through campaigns because as the church has grown, we've been able to kind of push the ball forward incrementally. Your normal annual operating budget, our ministry fund, as that grows, as attendance grows and people grow in generosity, that's great. But what that basically does is that just assumes the ability to pay for the infrastructure of kids' curriculum, of $1 million a year towards CityLink, of whiz kids expenses, of staff expenses to have an inspiring service, of, you know, all that stuff. And so as the church grows, as the budget grows, that just sort of helps you keep up with what's happening right now. To have a downfield pass is what a campaign does. Everything else is kind of 4 yards and a cloud of dust. But when we do a campaign and we say, I'm going to go above and beyond what I regularly do for 3 years, this has enabled us to do all the huge things that are big chunks of yardage. And boy, that's happened with the I'm In campaign. A few stats for you. We're over $88 million that's been committed to the I'm In campaign. If you want to clap at anything today, you're more than welcome to do that. Of that over 88, it's actually growing. It's continuing to grow, and I'll tell you why in a moment. It's pretty cool. 23% of everybody who's committed to the I'm In campaign is a new giver to Crossroads. Isn't that cool? That's great. We're over 7,000 givers, over 7,000 family households of people who said, I'm in. That's why we called the I'm In campaign. It really defined who's in on Crossroads versus who attends Crossroads. And the average of that is $12,000 roughly for that commitment. Now, the crazy thing is when you talk with people from other parts of the country and they hear that you had a almost $90 million campaign, the immediate assumption is always, oh, you must have some really rich people. You must have people who are making $10 million commitments, $5 million commitments, a bunch of $4 million commitments. No, we've had one $1 million commitment, not one $1 million check, one $1 million commitment. I hope they fulfill it. Come on. Come on, baby. Come on. You could do it. Well, hey, I would love for us to have more people who have the ability to make seven-figure commitments, but you just need to understand, the story of Crossroads is average people who bring it all. The story of Crossroads is average people who are in love with God. It always has been the story, always will be the story. And anytime you think or hear anything else, it's a rumor that's an utter lie and not fabricated in anything of reality. Now, I know that we've been sacrificing, and I just want to encourage you today to let you know what's been happening with the money that's been coming in from the I'm In campaign. So far, we've had about $15 million come in from the I'm In campaign, and guess what we've been doing with that money? We've been spending it. We've been spending that money. I want to update you on that because the I'm In campaign is the foundation for what God's going to do for our next 20 years. By the way, the Bible says don't despise the day of small beginnings. Who's to say that today isn't the small beginning still? Who's to say that right now isn't this? Who's to say that 20 years from now, we'll look back on this and say, man, that was the small beginning right there. We have got to shatter this faulty, unbiblical notion that smallness is next to godliness. We got to shatter this paranoia that says if something's larger or growing, something as weird is happening. No. If something isn't growing, something weird is happening. Jesus talked to his disciples, gave the same teaching two different times before he vacated the earth. He said, I want you to go into all the world, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And our I'm In campaign had four different sectors that we've been funding and going after. And when Jesus said this, he blew their mind. These are people who only ever been in and around Jerusalem. Back in the ancient economy, you never would go to another city. There was no such thing as corporations who would transfer you. You would never just go over to another city and start something. No. Where you were born is where you died. It's where you lived. It's where you worked. And so Jesus, when he says, I want you to go into Jerusalem with my words, they go, okay, I understand. And Judea, they're going, Judea, that's like the region in which I live, but okay. And Samaria, and we'll find out in a moment, that freaked him out. Samaria! And the ends of the earth, he totally expanded their parameters for what ministry looked like. Friends, there's a reason why the name Jesus is the best known name in the history of the world. There's a reason why Jesus is the only person that the world collectively said, let's date time after him. There's a reason why he's the person who's being worshiped right now in more countries than anyone else in the world. There's a reason why there's more hospitals, more orphanages, more educational facilities that have been started by followers of his than add up all the others and multiply it by five, by far. There's a reason. Why is it? It's because he planned it that way. It wasn't some accident. Jesus planned total world domination. That's why he had 12 disciples who were around him, and he was reproducing himself in those 12 disciples. One of them was a dud. He dropped off, reproduced them in themselves to go out and take his word. And he specifically said, I want you to go. I don't want you to stay and hunker down right here and be nice and happy and kumbaya. I want you to go. And so for us, Jerusalem is our home base. It's our sites that we have. Our sites in Oakley, Florence, Westside, Mason, and in Uptown. Actually, we included Uptown in Judea, as I'll talk in a moment. So would you like to know what's been going on in Jerusalem? Of course you would. So Mason is, we've been spending money and outfitting Mason to be able to handle an Awaited show. We want to take Awaited to two different locations this next year. We've been in Oakley. We want to also go to Awaited. We'd like to be able to, we know that we can reach, and people are itching to be experiencing that story, and we believe we're going to be able to go over 100,000 people with having two different locations of Awaited. So we've been buying equipment, getting ready that auditorium, and getting ready for multiple casts. All that is a massive financial undertaking, and we have those resources because of the campaign. In Florence, we have Florence, y'all! Yes, down in Florence. Insert Kentucky joke right here. You know, last weekend I was in Kentucky. I was charting a course, trying to get an off-road course from the northern border of Kentucky, the southern border of Kentucky, on dirt the whole way, and camping and stuff. I was trying to chart that out. And I'll tell you what, if you get offended by Kentucky jokes, then you've never been to Kentucky. Let me just say that. Yeah. I mean, if you're in Florence or Fort Thomas, I'm sorry, you're not in Kentucky. You're like, you're just south of Cincinnati. Go explore your own state sometime. Go about an hour south outside of the metropolitan area, and you'll understand all those jokes. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, in Florence, we are finally building a chapel in Florence. It's under construction. It's nearing completion. We haven't had the money for that. Coming together. We already have 7 weddings that are booked for that space. We have no funerals that are pre-planned for it, but it's such a nice place. We wouldn't be surprised if someone kind of puts that in the calendar because they want to use it. And this also enables us to expand our student ministry and our kids club ministry, our facilities there next month. All that's happening because of your generosity through the I'm In campaign. The West Side campus is growing. Actually, all of our campuses are growing. Actually, the one that's growing the least rate is Oakley. All of our campuses are growing. West Side needs to double the size of their auditorium. So we are going to the West Side, and we're blowing out one wall. We want to expand their atrium. We want to put on more seats, and we also want to take a driveway that goes all the way around the building that enables with inflow and outflow, 435 additional seats there in West Side. In Oakley, we're trying to figure out our parking stuff. We've got to pave a gravel portion the back of our facility at Oakley, but we haven't had the money to do that until the campaigns come along, and now we're trying to sell two corner parcels that we have not used, take that money, buy the center section, pave the whole thing, and try to do that by being able to put money into other areas of ministry. We never like paying for parking. That's like the least sexy money we will ever spend. We're never excited, yay, let's spend money on blacktop, woo! But we find when people come to church, they like to bring their car with them. That's just kind of how it happens. And if you don't take care of that, people who are seeking and want to encounter with God won't be able to be washed up in it and have their life affected, which enables our team to go ahead. So Oakley and parking and also the technology is going ahead. You know, our technology in our Oakley room is 10 years old. Imagine if your cell phone was 10 years old. And your cell phone was a core part of who you were, core part of how you reach people.
I mean, we're just starting to upgrade our video, our lights, all that kind of stuff, because of the experience is critical for us. So Jerusalem, all the Jerusalem initiatives are going forward. Judea is represents our new sites. Again, our sites, a key thing is not that we think that we're the only ones who can teach and do music well. We're not at all. But we want to have a wider base of infrastructure, more people who can be mobilized to bless the world and bring God's kingdom to bear right here and now. And so our newest site facility that we're doing is in Uptown. Now, Uptown meets right now in Bogarts, but there's some real limitations with meeting in a bar. And we've been working on Old St. George, and it is coming along really, really beautifully. We are coming in. Yes, we're coming in. On budget and on time for that project. Now, that's really only because we set an astronomically high budget. I mean, there's a reason that building has been sitting for a long time. It has needed a crazy, crazy, crazy amount of work. So we set a budget that was high with a high contingency, and we're coming in and we're hitting it, and it is going to be amazing. We're going to be opening up for services at the end of August this year. It's coming up very quickly. Oxford, Crossroads Oxford is a sixth site that we started. Yes, we got some Oxford, not to be confused with Crotchford, but Crossroads Oxford. We are starting that site. We have started that site. It's 6 weeks going, and it's our fastest site that we've ever started and our cheapest site ever to date. We just can't keep expanding the work of God and expanding sites, but needing millions of dollars to do a new facility. That's just not right. We're up for spending more money. Facilities are fine, but that's a bottleneck for reaching people and blessing people. So we tried something new with Crossroads Oxford. We were able to get a building on Miami's campus for virtually nothing. Actually, for nothing. I think they're paying us, believe it or not, for there. And we've been able to try. What's it look like to do all video stuff? Video worship. Video teaching, so we don't have the infrastructure of all that stuff. And because of that, we were able to start that thing like on a few months' notice, and it's going well. It's growing. We're actually adding a service. Kids Club starts next week. We've actually had people at Oxford who've become part of the I'm In campaign. Brand new people said, I want in. I'm all on that stuff. So we're encouraged with how that's coming with the Oxford. East Side, we are going over to the eastern suburbs of Cincinnati. I can't tell you when though. I know I don't want to give you false hope, but I like to give you hope because we've been talking about this for years and years, and I don't want to get you all worked up and then like take it away from you. But I'll just tell you, we've been working hard on it. We've been in negotiations with some different places. It's nice because now we have some resources to figure out how to do that. So no promises, but we're working hard on that. So those are the things that have been happening in Judea. Samaria. Samaria is the place that was intimidating for the Jews. It's a place where they didn't want to go. You understood kosher Jews who lived in Jerusalem. We understand them. And they also understood pagan Gentiles who lived outside their midst. They're like, they're totally different than us. They're totally different. So they understood those categories. That was sort of the ends of the earth. But the Samaritans were the in-between. They were known as the Jews as half-breeds, half-Gentile, half-Jew, and they couldn't have a category for them. It was very, very intimidating to go into Samaria. So for us, Samaritan-ish initiatives represent things that are intimidating to us as a church. Things that we're not very good at, things that we've not done before. We've opened up a bunch of sites before. We can do those things. We've taken a bunch of go trips. We can do those things. But these are things like we've not really excelled at, but we feel like we need to push into. One of them is Crossroads Anywhere. Our digital infrastructure has always been difficult. Our website has sucked for a long, long, long time. And it's because we just never really are excited about putting money into that. And while we've been struggling there, the world has changed. There's more people in the world, I believe, who are like me, who would rather go to Amazon and shop than Macy's and Walmart and shop. It's just different. And you know, somebody in the early church, somebody who was in the church in the year 60 AD, if you told them church was going to be, there was going to be these things called pews, and they were going to have this instrument called an organ that would fill up a whole room, they go, what? Pews? An organ? That's not church. That's ridiculous. They had no concept of that at all. If you had told somebody in the 15th century The church is going to be in a place that was going to be dark, and there would be amplified speech. Electronics would enable your voice to be louder because you'd be with so many people, you couldn't all hear. It would be that loud, and there would be these things like video screens, and there would be like instruments they hadn't heard of, and it would be loud, and then they'd go, what? That's not church. Jesus wouldn't have a form with any of those elements of church, and I believe in the future, you're going to say, gosh, hold on. Wait, people are meeting together in homes. They're being inspired and rallied together around a video feed. They're doing life with one another, and they're never actually going to a separate church. But what? That's not church. Why not? Who says? So we're trying to build that infrastructure and spending money, a lot of money on code and a lot of money on people we've hired to look into that, and Crossroads Anywhere is going really well. So you can be part of Crossroads anywhere in the entire world. In fact, we had this last week, we had 3,942 people attend Crossroads Anywhere, streaming Crossroads online last week. We've had people from all 50 states tune in. And this isn't like a one-shot in and out. This is like 50 minutes. We can measure 50 minutes, the middle 50 minutes of the service or one of our services. 25 countries have attended. We have 50 people from around the country who are attending in community with others. It's fine when someone's in Cincinnati and they're sick and they don't want to come to Crossroads and they do Crossroads Anywhere, that's cool. If you're part of Crossroads, you're on vacation, you want to tune in, that's all fine. But we're not designing Crossroads Anywhere for that. We're designing Crossroads Anywhere so that people can be invited into homes, can have community inside homes, and can be mobilized for mission outside of their home. So the prototype would be 30 people in a home who are worshiping together, who are hearing teaching, who are getting mobilized to go outside of it. We have 50 of those sites. There's 50 different places around the country where multiple people are coming to a specific home. One of my a location, and getting a digital feed. One of my favorite is the Lebanon Correctional Institute. We have every week dozens of dudes who are coming and who are a part of our church. I got a letter a couple weeks ago from one of them who sent a tithe of, I think it was like $3 was his tithe. It's like, man, come on, that's one of the most generous, that's maybe the most generous person who's a part of our church. Hey, here's the idea for you. Why can't we be in every single penitentiary across the entire country? And what would happen to our country if people actually got spiritually rehabilitated coming out of prison and coming back into the world? And they actually had a church to plug into because they didn't leave their church behind. What could happen to our country? How big is your vision? How small is your God? Come on, we could have never anticipated the things happening today. And I'll tell you what, this is the day of small beginnings. This is the day right now of small beginnings. Our God's too small. Our God's too small, and we have too little faith to believe that he will actually do the things that he said he would do. Jesus said, greater things will you do than me. Greater. Greater. That's him. If you don't believe that, take it up with him. Greater things. And it's great that we're in on this. Another thing that has been challenging for us, we've never done anything in the past like camping, camp ministry, anything like that. So it's just a different thing. And we noticed that men are very lonely. They are. Men are lonely, lonely creatures. Most men have no friends. The only friends that most men have are people who he works with, and those aren't really friends or associates. As soon as he transfers jobs, those people go away. And so we said, what happens if we just kind of get people around the campfire, make some friendships? That was really the only goal for man camp. And we found out something much, much deeper and greater took place. We found that it ended up being like a go trip. See, when you're in your small place, and your small place is whatever you know right now, that's a small place. For you to grow spiritually, you have got to see God in a context outside of your current context. As soon as you encounter God in a culture other than the one that you're comfortable in, your view of God just explodes. That's what we do. Go New Orleans, go South Africa, go India. It's not just to help those places. It's because when you get outside of your normal context, your view of God just blows up and expands. We found that happens with man camp. People don't go to man camp because they don't like to camp. You know, half the guys who go to man camp don't have their own gear. They haven't camped before. or at least they can't remember when they did. And that's part of why it's a challenge. It's a challenge because you're pushed. I tell you what, if you're not up for being pushed, you will not grow spiritually. If you're not up for being pushed, you will not encounter greater powers of the Holy Spirit. You just will not. Just won't happen. And so Man Camp has created crazy, crazy fruit because people have been pushed. Over 3,000 dudes, a few hundred people who have been baptized, and we've seen such fruit that we're ready to do the same thing except with some different tweaks with the women and Women Camp.
The world tells me I have to be strong and soft, and I have to be sexy. I have to be on at all times. I can't show weakness. You have to get it all together before you can be real about your struggle, which is really hard when you feel like you're always in a struggle.
I'm always created like a shell around myself to be tough and to be hard so that people can't hurt me. Really, I'm not that hard person. I am soft. I can be hurt, and I don't think I want people to know that I'm vulnerable.
Well, I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I built my life.
What if the first thing someone said when describing you was not what you look like or what your achievements were, but that God was big in you? Or if every time you looked in the mirror, all you saw was a reflection of Jesus, because you are an image bearer of your Father, the King, created and called to reflect His glory. What if worthy replaced gorgeous? Real replaced fake? She has purpose replaced she is worthless? Redeemed instead of perfect? Chosen, not passed over? Wise instead of bossy? Beloved replaced fat or skinny or sexy? Belonging replaced alone? We are women, called, anointed, and known by our Father. He has given us a seat at the table and a place in the throne room. We will enter in. We will know Him and be known. We will worship at His feet. We will be unveiled before our God and each other. We will be set free.
If you see my reflection in the snow covered hills.
So signups are getting ready to start, ladies. Get ready, get there early. And I just want to give you a little damage control. We know not everyone is going to be able to go who can go. We only have spots for 500. The women felt there's a specific place where they needed to be, and it only takes 500. And this is part of the reason why we have been looking for our own land, because we need to be able to accommodate more women and more men, more Man Camp. The last camp, Man Camp we had, we almost couldn't have it because the weather was so difficult setting up before people came. And so doing the borrowed land thing has been fun, but it needs to come to an end. So we've been in search for permanent land for these alternative environments for men, women, for students, for families. And we're looking for 400 acres minimum in an hour and a half outside the 275 loop. So we've looked at about a dozen properties. We've put in an offer on one or two, and we're still looking there. So that's what's taking place there, because we want to grow our community deeper. We want to grow us deeper, and we need alternative environments. And it's fascinating as well. We've been trying to grow our community deeper in these environments. People have been coming from all over the country. We have people from England come to last Man Camp. England, Georgia. Because men and women are longing for something authentic, and it's interesting how God is using that. So that's that. Are we excited about Samaria? Stuff is coming together. Ends of the earth. I swim in this stuff all day. All day I'm looking at this stuff, I'm praying for this stuff, I'm aware of this stuff. So it's really fun for me to bring this out and let you know what your sacrifices are doing, what your sacrifices are enabling. And actually, you might be saying before I go into Ends of the Earth, what's been happening with the real numbers? We have so far $15,001,543 collected. 16.9% has been collected so far of the over $88 million that's been committed. Phenomenal. In fact, the total number is $88,842,758. So people have been stepping in and been fulfilling, and I just encourage you, just continue going. If you haven't started yet, just start, because it's so gratifying to see the things that are giving, that God has enabled us to give, is happening. So one of them is in South Africa. we looked at Cincinnati and said, what are the things that are happening that's really innovative and helpful in Cincinnati? And obviously CityLink is one thing that we've helped start and are helping to fund to bring people out of generational poverty, the working poor. And then another one is Ocean. Ocean is an organization that takes 10 companies a year, gives them business skills to send them out and enable them to have businesses that are venture backable that could grow rapidly. And what would happen if Ocean and CityLink had a baby? Specifically, what would happen if Ocean and CityLink went over to a field in South Africa and had sex? What would happen? Center of Hope is what would happen. And so we bought that land in Africa like we said we would. We bought that land where, by the way, all these things, we've talked about all these things. There shouldn't be any new information for you here. If you've been around for 20 years, let me just remind you, God has a significant track record. Everything that we said we would do in this campaign, we're doing. Everything that we've said for 20 years has come to bear. And we just need to be thankful that God has enabled us to be in a place that's faithful, and our yes is yes, and our no is no. And so no surprises other than, good, I'm excited it's going. So that land has been bought. Plans are underway for construction and for the other infrastructure in South Africa in partnership with our church that we do. We're in partnership with Grace Bible Church. In Nicaragua, we sent Compassion International $100,000 so far to start building infrastructure for the 6,000 kids that we educate and feed every single day. And so we've started to build bathrooms, started to put roofs up in Nicaragua, and we have 102 people going over on our first ever Go Nicaragua trip in a couple weeks who are going to see 70 of our sponsored kids. That's fun. So Nicaragua continues to gain traction, and we need more resources for that to happen, and that is coming in, and it's great, great news. India is our main effort to come against the child sex slavery industry. We really went to a new level a number of years ago when I was visiting over in Kolkata, India, and I met Don Jared, who was the field leader in Kolkata for that work. And I wooed him over to Cincinnati. He's been on staff with our church for several years now. And after being here for several years, we realized for that ministry to go to the next place, he needed to have him and his family's boots back on the ground. So they moved back over to that region, working with the homes that we support, also working with a business called Freeset that we help out as well, that employs girls, and a bunch of huge logistical things and strategic things he's able to do on site. That work continues to grow. We've actually just bought 15 more beds because of our Amen commitment. And you know, I don't even want to tell you anymore. Why should I tell you? It might actually be more fulfilling to hear this from our girls. Would you like to hear from our girls that we've rescued and that we're bringing to wholeness? So we have this video, and let's hear from them.
अनि कसरी आयो भने अब धेरै इन्करेज पाएँ होइन अब इन्करेज पाएपछि त अनि मान्छेहरूले सपोर्ट गरेपछि त त्यो सपनाहरू आयो सपना देख्न थाल्छ मान्छेले बिस्तारै बिस्तारै
आस्ते आस्ते सब परिवर्तन হচ্ছে তো আমার বিশ্বাস যে আরো সাপোর্ট আগে আমি কলেজে পড়তাম না এখন আমি কলেজে পড়ছি
Oh, we are valued, we are listened, our words are not only ignored, like we are valued.
Since opening 5.5 years ago, we started with 15 girls, and today we have had over 150 who've come through the Mahima homes. Of them, about 15 to 16 are now married with families and babies. So we have 10 babies as part of the Mahima family now. And quite a few of my girls are now living independently. They have jobs and they continue to live in the city, but either renting apartments or living in group homes. But totally on their own.
Crossroads I'm In campaign has allowed us to expand the Mahima home, which is to add more bed space so that we can have another 15 survivors at a time being given holistic care and treatment there. This means that as the rescuing organizations we work with, like IJM, are able to go into the red light areas and make rescues, that there's a place where girls can go and immediately find hope so that they're willing to testify and so that they're willing to do what's necessary to put traffickers in jail.
With Mahima Home and our interactions with police and lawyers, when they come and see them, you know, a lot of them, especially the senior officers there, they say that we've never seen this kind of thing happening in girls' lives, you know, where you have held on to them until they're absolutely ready to leave you. And just seeing these girls stand up and speak or dance or go out in a public forum and be able to stand up and speak about what is going on has been such encouragement to them. So for them, they feel that sending to Mahima Home means that their cases are getting convicted, girls are speaking up in court, they are doing well in their lives, and they feel that their work is worth it. Usually they used to feel that we keep rescuing these girls, but we get nothing out of it. We see them going right back to where they were. But now that, you know, we've had girls come through this, we feel that we are doing a good job.
Being able to see these girls with new lives is just really invigorating. And as we operate here, we really want to give the people who are on the front line opportunities to see and be reminded of what they're doing this for. Because what they're doing this for is to see in the eyes of these girls how they've been healed and how they now have hope and how their lives are changed and how they are becoming change makers themselves.
গ্রহণও করেছি, ঈশ্বরকে গ্রহণ করা, গ্রহণের আগে আমি ঈশ্বর সম্বন্ধে অনেক কিছু জানতাম না, মানুষের সাথে বিহেভিয়ার, মানুষের সাথে ব্যবহার, মানুষকে হেল্প করা, মানুষের মানে দুঃখের সময় মানে সান্ত্বনা দেওয়া।
अनि मेरो कुराहरू सुनेपछि उनीहरूले पनि विश्वास हुन्छ नि त, त्यसरी नै गर्न चाहन्थ्यो, मेरो स्टोरीहरू भन्न लाग्थ्यो कि मैले भनेर।
Don't cry, you are at the safe place, we were also like you, don't give up your hope.
One of the main reasons of having a Mahima in Calcutta 5.5 years ago was not only just to provide better care, professional care to them, but also to be able to be a place where they could come to know the love of God. And I think over the 5 years that we've been having these homes, that has been, for me personally, the biggest achievement.
মহিমাতে এসে আমি এটা জেনেছি বাইবেল পড়া ভালোভাবে, কিন্তু বাইবেল তো ছিল না আমার কাছে না।
एकदम एउटा माया हुन्छ नि, एउटा माया पाएँ कि मैले जुन चाहिँ कहिले फिल गरेको थिएन होइन, त्यही माया चाहिँ पायो त्यहाँ। अनि त्यसपछि चाहिँ के अरे, मेरो चाहिँ ठुलो सपना छ दिदीबहिनीहरूलाई बचाउने र सँगै कामहरू गर्ने।
আমাদের মহিমাকে এত ভালোবাসার জন্যে বা এসেছে এত কষ্ট করে ওখান থেকে এখানে, তার জন্য অনেক অনেক ধন্যবাদ।
It's so fulfilling, isn't it? The other night I was watching the NCAA tournament, or at least I wanted to. I was excited about watching UC play. And I went, and I'm like, where is it? And I was, oh, it's not on a main network channel. It was on some stupid channel called True TV or something like that. So I couldn't have it. And I got really bummed for a moment, because part of what we were doing to fulfill our I'm In campaign is eliminate all cable except for the most basic channels, so we've saved some money there. And at first I was like, gosh, but then I was, oh gosh. But I get to have the satisfaction that I'm fueling things like that, that I'm enabling people to come to know Christ, I'm enabling people to grow. Now, not all of us have given up cable. This is not about everyone has to give up cable. There's things that I have that you don't have, you have that I don't have. This is not about equally fairsies. It's just about saying all of us who are in, made decisions, say, God, I want you and your ways more than things and comforts that I could have. And you need to know God is well pleased with you. You need to understand that God's excited about your faithfulness. You need to understand that where you've been going has been resulting in a huge crop of righteousness. It's been resulting in a huge level of fruitfulness in other people's lives. Well done, friends. Well done. Great job. You know, if you're newer today, or you haven't been a part of the I'm In campaign, you still can. We've got cards in there. You can drop them off at the information center if you want to. People are regularly declaring that they're in. If you're Crossroads anywhere right now, you can go to crossroads.net/committed. Committed? Commitment. I'm not sure which. And you can get that information there. Friends, we just need to recognize that God is the source of all of these good things. So we're going to pray right now. We're actually going to stand and pray right now. Let's stand. And I just don't want to rob God of getting any more of this glory. I want him to continue to feel that we're thankful that he's included us in this ministry. And we're seeing his hand and we're committed. We're committed to going the next step. And so let's tell him right now that he's worthy by revisiting the works of his hands and telling him that. So God, your children are thankful to be used and we're thankful to be deployed. And it's not our might, it's not our effort, it's not our prayers, it's not our planning, our strategic thinking. It's you, your purposes, your grace. Thank you, God. You're worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all.
Are we encouraged today? Are we encouraged? Let's tell God thank you. Let's just give him a hand right now. Tell him thank you for including us. You're good, God. You're so good. All right, big stuff coming up. Sign up to be a brave host. See how God will use you in that way. And my gosh, Easter is next weekend. Chop, chop, get ready. You will want your friends there, and we'll see you then. Bye now. Oh, I forgot again. We had this thing called beans and rice, didn't we? Gosh, sheesh. Well, on top of all this stuff, we thought about maybe we ought to just cancel beans and rice because people are already giving their noogies off. It's another ask. Maybe we shouldn't do it. We thought, no, let's keep giving outside of ourselves. Whoever wants to participate, participate. It's not a full court press. Let's just put it out there. And so, would you like to know what happened? Here's what's happening. So, we are going to give an additional $30,000 from our beans and rice fast to kids in Flint, Michigan who are recovering. That's awesome. We're gonna be giving $50,000 in swim lessons to kids here in our city who will be able to have fun and not drown. We're gonna be giving $58,590.92 for clean water wells we're going to be drilling in Nicaragua. And we're going to give an additional $120,000 to fight heroin in our region. So we've poured out $258,509.92 from the beach. Well done, friends. It's good. It keeps getting better. All right, I'll try not to forget that next service. Get out of here. We'll see you.